folks who have made this remarkable movement possible. Thank you. And when I say thank you, not just for the warm welcome that you just gave me, but thank you for the movement that you have created and that is building so powerfully all across this nation. I can't tell you how important I think it is that you continue what you're doing with as much energy as you're putting into it, as much imagination and creativity and innovation. I wrote a book a little over a year ago called The Assault on Reason. That is all about the evolution of the media in our country since the very beginning, and the relationship between democracy and the ability individual citizens have to take part in a meaningful dialogue that is directly connected to the way in which our nation makes decisions about our future, our destiny. Our capacity for self-determination has depended from the very start on the ability of the American people to really be what our founders called a well-informed citizenry, and to be able to hold the elected representatives accountable and to have a direct and intimate involvement with the discussion of ideas that is based on the rule of reason and searches out for the best evidence and recognizes the natural tendencies in human nature for egos to clash and for people to seek power. That's not a function of party or ideology. That's just human nature. Our founders understood that very well. But in order to safeguard the future of our nation against a malignant manifestation of hunger for power and the exclusion of competing points of view and too much power in the hands of one person or a small group of people, it is absolutely essential that we have not only the checks and balances and separated powers and the safeguards and the Bill of Rights. Even more important than all of that is the founding bedrock of the whole idea of our nation, which is that we will have a well-informed citizenry that is involved and engaged and will be involved. That's what you represent. And you know, in the television age, things changed a lot, but the internet and the blogs and the new ability to take part actively is bringing a great new hope that we can reclaim the birthright of this nation. And you represent the leading edge of that new movement to reclaim the integrity of American democracy. And I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I want to talk to you about the climate crisis. I made a speech a couple of days ago about the, and I referred to it in our little dog and pony show here. I'm the dog in this dog and pony show. We have an historic challenge facing us, and I'm not going to belabor the reasons why we have to face the climate crisis head on. But I would like to just give you just a couple of quick facts. The North Polar Ice Cap is normally the size of the lower 48 states, minus a tiny bit, an area roughly the size of a medium-sized state. 47 of the 48 states, the scientists like to be precise on this. It's been there more or less for 3 million years. It is a key part of the climate system. And because of the buildup of global warming pollution, for instance, CO2, and the trapping of heat in the lower atmosphere that has been understood by scientists for 150 years, the temperatures have now reached the point that the North Pole is melting. And the scientists who have access to the submarine data have now told us that there is a 75 to 80% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap, again the size of the continental United States, during the summer months, when it's most important, will be completely melted and gone in as little as 5 years. How can we absorb the meaning of a magnitude of an event of that magnitude occurring during our watch? And if it goes, which is a near certainty now, it can come back if we act very quickly to halt the continued accumulation of these greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. But if we continue to procrastinate and pretend it's not real and reject the mandate of history that is being placed by destiny upon our generation, if we fail that test, if we reject the responsibility of being stewards for all future generations as this is unfolding, and if the heat continues to build up for decades at depth in the Arctic Ocean, then it'll never come back. And when the scientists tell us, as they have from time to time, that we may have as little as 10 years in order to stop this process, lest we completely lose the ability to retrieve a climate balance that is conducive to human civilization, when they say we only have that short period of time, that's one of the things they're talking about. So, how do we internalize the importance of that decision? Well, you all have been on the cutting edge, and I appreciate you helping to get that message out. But one of the ways that we build our capacity to respond is by sketching out a plan to get from here to where we need to be. And if you look at the seriousness of this climate crisis, you begin to see how it's connected to the economic crisis and to the national security threat that we face that comes from the cutoff on oil. 70% of all of the oil we burn comes from foreign countries. $2 billion a day being sent overseas just for oil. The largest amount of our trade deficit and our current account deficit and the buildup of our national debt is coming because of our overdependence on dirty carbon fuels and foreign oil and coal. And so the economy is being hurt by rising gasoline prices and rising electricity rates. And the older industries that are premised on cheap fossil fuels are being devastated by the sudden rise in fossil fuels and this overdependence. And no wonder, because the new emerging economies like the giant economy in China that has been based on imitating the basic industries that were designed, most of them 100 years ago, again based on dirty and cheap fossil fuels, their economic growth is so rapid, their ravenous consumption of oil and coal is increasing so rapidly, their demand for these fossil fuels is just completely overwhelming the declining rate of new discoveries for oil in particular. And so the price is skyrocketing. And, you know, the idea that we can drill our way out of this is just so absurd as to not know. There used to be an old timey remedy for hangovers called the hair of the dog that bit you. They'd recommend going in and just having another drink in the morning if you had a hangover. Well, that's sort of what that reminds me of. Oh, we have a fossil fuel crisis. Oh, let's just try to go back for more. You're in a hole, stop digging. So I laid out this challenge to the nation, and I repeat it here today. The easiest and cheapest and quickest way to shift over to renewable sources of energy is with the generation of electricity. It will take slightly longer to build to convert our fleet of cars and trucks to electric vehicles, but we can do that too, and that is a part of this challenge. And we have to build a unified national grid that's a smart grid and also has the underground high voltage long distance transmission lines. But in keeping with that agenda, the centerpiece of it is this challenge. We have to switch our electricity generation system. We ought to make a commitment as a nation to get 100% of our electricity from renewable sources and carbon.
Focus on this single objective. And we need help. We have 1.3 million
activist signed up with the WE campaign, WeCanSolveIt.org. We are trying to mobilize 10 million grassroots activists. We want an army of men and women and families who are out there who are focused on trying to build a political consensus across party lines in favor of meaningful solutions for the climate crisis. www.wecansolveit.org. I need your help. You speak to and influence and connect with so many millions of people. I respectfully ask for your help in building that group of people at wecansolveit.org. I promise you, you will not see this organization getting partisan or turned towards some agenda other than this central agenda. I promise you, we will not back down. I promise you, we will not slow down. I promise you, we will not let up. We are in this for the long haul, and we need your help. Please, wecansolveit.org. Yeah. By the way, let me just say one other thing before I end. I also encourage you, in wearing another hat, I have tried to find ways to break down the walls surrounding the television medium and invite people to express themselves over the television medium in a democratized way through Current TV. And I invite you to go to current.com and put video expression on television. We have 58 million subscribers, and it is aimed at that goal of democratizing the television medium. So let me close, ladies and gentlemen, again where I started. You are at the cutting edge of a new era of history. You will look back many years from now and tell your grandchildren about coming here to Austin, Texas, and about the first two meetings of Netroots Nation. And you will tell them that this was the beginning of an effort that was historic to reclaim the integrity of American democracy.